As I mentioned a few minutes ago, I felt pretty confident until I started studying this book that I knew what I was as far as how you would categorize me when it came to what I believed about the end time. But after going through the different views of what's going to happen, I'm going to tell you I don't know what I am. I don't agree with any of them. I agree with parts of some of them, but then there's other parts that I don't agree with. And so, again, let me repeat something I said last week. Southern Baptists have never made holding, and Brother Larry's going to make some more copies. Southern Baptists have never held a specific view as a test of fellowship. They've never said, if you don't believe it this way, you can't be a Southern Baptist. I don't know of many churches that hold a particular view that say, if you don't believe it this way, you can't be a member of our church. We certainly don't do that here. But I think this is a topic that we need to think and study. We need to consider it. We need to think about it. Not because I think you can come to the point that you know for sure. As I've studied this, as I've heard it preached, I mean, and if you can, if the Lord leads you to take a definite position on how these things are going to unfold, that's wonderful. But I want to tell you something. I don't think it's a subject worth arguing about. I don't think it's a subject that you can draw hard and fast lines on. Now, there's some things about the end times that all the views hold in common that I think that we can know for sure. But how things are going to happen in sequence and when certain things are going to happen, there's still a lot of questions about. And I think there are things that we as Christians should talk about, but I want to caution us, be careful about digging your feet in and saying this is the way it's going to be, because you'll find somebody that knows the Bible a little bit better than you, and they'll get you confused. And it's not worth fighting about. It's not worth arguing about. So tonight we're going to start. Brother Larry's making some more copies, but we're going to start on. And this is front and back. I gave you a copy of the three slides I used last time. So we're going to start about the back of the second page in where it says Chapter 1, Definition of Terms. And we're going to talk about some of these terms and what they mean. We're going to start with that word millennial or millennium or millennialism. And that's the thousand-year reign that's talked about in Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 4. Let me read that for you. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So the Bible teaches there's going to be 1,000-year reign. That's what the word millennium or millennialism or millennial stands for. Now, that 1,000-year reign, and when you believe Jesus is going to come in relationship to that 1,000-year reign, puts you in one of four camps, so to speak. All right? If you believe that Jesus is going to come before that kingdom is set up, you're what's called a premillennialist. You believe he's going to come before it. All right? And there's two schools of thought on premillennialism. And we're going to talk about them tonight, the dispensational and the historical. Now, don't get hung up on the terms. We're going to go through what each one of those camps sort of believe. So, but if you believe Christ is going to come before the kingdom is set up, you're a premillennialist. If you believe he's going to come after the kingdom is set up, you're a postmillennialist. And if you believe that that there's no literal reign, you're an amillennialist. The A means no. And so an amillennialist believes that everything in Revelation is symbolic and that there isn't going to be no thousand-year reign. They say, let's just talk about these three real quick. The amillennialist, they think that all the things that are in Revelation are symbolic. All right? That they refer to the first time Jesus came, and they refer to what's going on in this age now with the church. The strife that's talked about in the book of Revelation, the warfare like the Battle of Armageddon, the amillennialists believe that that represents the conflict that's going on, has gone on since Christ went back to heaven, that's gone on between the church and Satan. They believe that the church is the primary agent in this warfare representing Christ, and that Jesus will come back again bodily when everybody that's going to be saved is saved. All right? So that's the amillennialist. The postmillennialist, we're not going to talk a lot about in Baptist circles. This used to be popular quite a few years ago, but in current thought, it's not very popular today, the postmillennialist view. And you stop and think about it, how can Christ set up a kingdom and come back after that kingdom? I mean, So we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about postmillennialist. Premillennialist, both views believe that in the last days, the Jewish nation itself, is going to be used in a special way, that there will be a literal Antichrist, as talked about in Revelation, that there will be a literal tribulation, that there will be a literal millennial kingdom, that Christ will come back, and he'll sit on the throne, and there will be a literal kingdom. But there's some differences between the dispensational and the historical view. And we're going to talk about those differences tonight. Now, so really the rest of our study is going to be dealing with the amillennialist view and then the two views of premillennialism. Here's the things that all three of those views agree on. All right? These things. That Jesus will come back literally and bodily. You remember when he went up the first time? What did the angel say to the disciples? This same Jesus that's gone away from you will so come in like manner. He'll come with a body. He will return to earth. All three of these views believe that every person will be judged. Christians will be judged for how they've lived up to the potential that God gave them as Christians. Everybody else will be judged for not accepting Christ. But every single person will be judged. Christ rules history. He will establish his kingdom. He's the Lord of the universe and will be known by all at his return. Remember that verse in Philippians. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. All three of them agree that that's going to happen. All three agree that there's a war going on between God and Satan. It's going on now. And it will continue to go on until the end of time. All three of these believe that there will be a new heaven and a new earth created by God in the end. Now, we had a little discussion after prayer meeting last night, and the young people came, and Walt and I had a little talk, and we got to be careful that when we talk about the end times, we talk to each other and know what we're saying. Let me just get it out on the table tonight. When a Christian dies, where do they go? What's heaven? Christ's presence. Are they going to go to the heaven they're going to live in forever? No. There's a new heaven and a new earth that's going to come in the end time. That place that Jesus is preparing now, that after the 1,000-year reign, after the battle, will go to live in forever. But when a Christian dies today, they don't go to that place. They go to be with Christ. They go to that place called paradise, where the Lazarus, the beggar, went. And being with Jesus is heaven. But so you got to be careful. I mean, we were both saying the same thing last week, and we were disagreeing. And that's, if you're not careful and talk to each other, that's what happens. But there will be a literal new heaven and a new earth. There is a literal heaven and hell. All three groups believe that. There is a real place called heaven. There is a real place called hell. And the Bible describes both of them. Number seven, the prophecies that we have in the Old Testament and in the book of Revelation are given to encourage us as Christians to look forward to that time when Christ is going to come back and set up his kingdom. And they all three agree that the Bible is divinely inspired and it's true. It's God's word. All right? Now, the next couple of slides talk about the distinctions or the distinctives that each one of the camps have. All right? Again, the amillennialists believe most things, everything in Revelation is symbolic. They believe that Revelation was written to encourage Christians of John's day. And so they believe the more you know about the church in that day, the more you will understand Revelation. They believe, again, that the symbols in Revelation are figurative. They say unless there's a good reason to believe that they're literal, they're figurative. They're not describing literal events. They believe that the visions in Revelation must be seen as a whole without pressing detail. They say there's a lot of detail added in Revelation for a dramatic effect, so that you'll understand, so that you'll believe it more. And Revelation addresses the imagination, not reason or emotion. As you imagine the scenes, you get a better grasp of the message of Revelation. All right? Those are the amillennialists. I will tell you, I'm not in this camp. All right? I'm not in this camp. I'm in a premillennialist camp, but I don't agree with either of the camps as I'm going to describe them for you tonight. All right. Here's the dispensational distinctives. All right? And here's what they say, and the major influence in shaping this view was the Scofield Bible, okay? And Dr. Scofield, he's a major influence in shaping this view. And here's what they believe. The church is not the new Israel, okay? They believe that when Christ sets up his kingdom, it's going to be a continuation of the Jewish kingdom. Jerusalem is going to be the capital. Christ will sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. And the promises that God made to the Jews in the Old Testament, every one of them are going to be kept. And they're going to be carried out. So that's number. And so they say number two, the Old Testament's got to be interpreted on its terms. The New has got to be interpreted in light of the Old. The promises to Israel in the Old Testament are binding. Israel has a distinctive future. They are going to be the kingdom that's set up. I mean, the Jewish nation is going to be the... When Christ comes, every other nation is going to be destroyed. The Jewish nation will be set up. Jerusalem will be the capital. A real king will sit on a real throne. All the nations of mankind will come to Israel. Number four, his coming will bring an end to all the other nations that exist. It'll be a continuation of the kingdom of David. The covenant with David will be restored as the kingdom comes back together. Jerusalem will be the capital. Now, and I'm not going to have time to finish, but what this camp believes is that the Jewish system of sacrifice that was in the Old Testament is going to be reestablished in this kingdom. And This is the part I don't agree with. There's a couple things I don't agree with. They say it was Christ's intent to set up this millennial kingdom when he came the first time. And when the Jews rejected him, he went to an alternative plan. And that alternative plan is the church age. But when the church age is done, he's going to go back to his original plan, reestablish the system of sacrifice, and that's how people are going to be saved in the end time. Okay? That's the part I don't agree with. Now, but let me tell you the part of this I do agree with. This camp believes that Christians are going to be raptured before the Great Tribulation. All right? They believe that we're going to, before the judgment comes, and before Satan is let loose for that 7-year period, that Christians are going to be taken away. This camp believes that. I agree with them on that. But I don't agree that people are going to be saved in the last days by offering sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament. I don't think that's taught in the book of Hebrews. Because when Christ came, the book of Hebrews says he put an end to all that. In fact, all of that was pictures of his coming. So, that's the dispensational. Now, here's the historical. These guys believe that it was God's plan, the original plan, that the church would become the new Israel. And that all the promises in the Old Testament that were made to Israel now apply to the church. And so the Old Testament has to be interpreted in light of the New Testament. Just the opposite of the dispensational. And I won't take the time to go through all of these. You can look at them. Jesus' intent was never to establish a Jewish kingdom. It was the church was his primary plan. The sacrificial system will not be reinstated. Everybody who's been saved since Christ's first coming will be saved by grace through faith. They believe that the Jews will be used in some unique way in the end of time, but they don't know what that is. And all the symbols in Revelation, they say, should be taken as literal events. Now, a couple different, three or four writers have really influenced this view. Ryer. Many of you have Ryer study Bibles. In fact, the one you gave me for my birthday last year is a Ryer study Bible. He's one of the ones that has influenced this thought. Who of you know who James Draper is? President of the Sunday School Board. Isn't he, Draper? Or used to be? Used to be. Who is it now? I thought it was Jimmy Draper's. Yeah, he's the president of the Sunday School Board. He wrote a book back in 1984 that has influenced this view. Who of you have heard of W.A. Criswell? W.A. Criswell is a pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas. He wrote a book that's influenced this view. So this is what they believe. All right, now I'm going to skip a couple of these things. I want you to go back to number 14. Let me end up with this. This describes how each one of them believe the sequence of events is going to happen in the end. And next week we're going to talk some more about the prophecy in Daniel of the 70 weeks. But the amillennialists believe that the things that Daniel talked about in his 70 weeks were completed when Christ came the first time. That the New Testament prophecy is talking about the conflict that's gone on between the church and Satan. That Christ will return bodily, visibly, literally, in glory at the end of time, again, when everybody that's saved is supposed to be saved. And they believe that nothing else is necessary for Christ to come. That he could come right now. Now, let me tell you one thing I agree with these guys. I believe Christ could come right now. I don't believe there's anything else that needs to be done. Now, the other two camps say there's something else that has to happen yet. And so, again, I'm not going to I'm not going to tell you which one of these camps to get in. I want to encourage you to think about it and study it. All right? So there's the amillennial sequence of events. Now, the dispensational, here's how they think it's going to happen. Again, these are the guys that think that the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation represent seven church ages. And that each one of those letters, and we studied those. Remember, we studied those not a year or so ago. Each one of those letters to the churches describe an age, a period of time that has to transpire before Christ comes back. And throughout those ages, from age 1 through age 7, the church is getting more, is falling away further and further from God, getting more apostate, as that slide says. Some people in this camp think we're in the one next to the last. Others think we're in the last one. Okay? They believe that there will be a real Antichrist. He'll come to power just before the Great Tribulation. They believe that Christians will be taken out. Everybody that's saved will be called away. That's what the word rapture means, before the Great Tribulation comes. The Great Tribulation, I don't have time to talk about tonight, but it's going to be divided into three and a half year periods. There's specific things that happen during those 7 year periods, but it's a time when Satan has free reign on the earth. There will be people saved during the Great Tribulation. And these guys believe they'll be saved the same way they are now, grace through faith and salvation. Anybody that's heard the gospel before the rapture that goes into the Great Tribulation has no chance of being saved. But there will be people that have never heard the gospel that will be saved in the Great Tribulation. Okay? That's what these folks believe. After that 7 year period, Christ will come back, and the battle of Armageddon will be fought. Satan will be defeated. He'll be, at the end of that battle, he'll be cast into a place for 1,000 years. Christ will reign on the earth. After that reign, he'll call Satan out, he'll judge him, cast him into hell, and then we'll go into the new heaven and the new earth. Okay? And then the last one, the historical. Again, these are the folks that believe that things are going to happen in this sequence. Daniel's 70-week prophecy was fulfilled at Christ's first coming. The time between the first and the second coming was the church age. And this is the time that we were talking about last week, where we as Christians are supposed to be doing what we can to get society today to get as close as possible to what Christ wants to set up in the end time. Okay? That's why we're here. Again, they're going to use the Jews in a mighty way. An Antichrist will arise. The Great Tribulation will come. Christ will return bodily. Then they say the rapture. So, and again, this is the point I disagree with this. I don't think Christians are going through the rapture. Satan will be defeated at Armageddon, and Christ will establish his millennial kingdom. Then after the kingdom, he'll be cast into eternal damnation, and then judgment, new heaven and the new earth. I'm not going to tell you what to believe in this area. You need to believe that Christ is coming back. You need to believe that we're all going to be judged. I think you need to believe that that could happen at any time. Because I think Christ could come back. I think he could come back right now, and everything's been fulfilled. I don't believe Christians are going through the Great Tribulation. I think everybody that's saved will be called away before that. But, you know, if it's right, if they're right, that nobody that's heard the gospel is going to, and after Christians are called away, is going to be able to be saved. You remember we saw that series of movies on a Sunday night not too long ago, and that sort of taught the same thing. That set of movies taught that if somebody was unsaved and heard the gospel and didn't get saved, and the tribulation came, their minds were clouded, and that they had no chance to get saved in the great tribulation. Now, that should give us a sense of urgency about witnessing and about praying and about doing what we can to get people saved. And I believe the Bible teaches that, and teaches us not only for the unsaved, but for Christians. I believe as Christians, the more that we learn about the Bible and the more that we learn about the will of God, the more accountable we're going to be for living that kind of life. And I think it's a natural extension to say that if an unsaved person has been presented with the gospel and has had an opportunity to accept Christ, that when that time comes, if they haven't acted on that opportunity, they're no longer going to have a chance. All right, questions. I know we're out of time. Questions.